Okay, Ray, our finance minister, is going to be talking to us this morning, okay, and on about finances, and we're going to continue the journey. So let's welcome Ray. I just want to pray for him before we start. And I just want to say, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have different voices that are going to be preaching. So I think Tracy's the week after, okay? Tracy normally hides behind the keyboard and just sings, okay? And then last but not least, we've got Nathan, guys. Nathan's going to come and drop a sermon on us here. Okay, these are voices that you haven't heard really, but both of these people are teachers. So they can teach, okay? And then we've got Uche after Mother's Day and that. But I want you in your hearts to be open and receive. Don't think, here we go, new person and stuff. I want you to celebrate these folk because we're all in this together. We all love each other. We're not now grading each other, thinking, oh, well, that's about a 4 out of 10 and stuff. There's no grading, okay? It's the love of Christ standing together. So I want to pray for this brother that he releases on his heart. So Father, I thank you that you have placed a word in Ray's heart this morning, for this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that nothing in the heavenlies, no lies, nothing that stands in the place of his mind to disrupt and says would hinder us this morning. I pray, Lord, we press through and we encourage with the power of the Almighty God, and we hear what our brother has to say to us this morning. We open our hearts so that we can truly be the light when it comes to these understanding of finances in this world and for your kingdom. And so we pray a blessing and a strength and a courage to his heart this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just shout. Amen. You love him, applaud and shout for him.
Yes!
Right, am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah, cool. That's brilliant. Let me get this little thing out for a minute. It's funny what Satan does to your mind. Woke up this morning. Well, in fact, yesterday, this week, I've been thinking about what I want to share. Very inspired, and I feel God wants to really speak to you, speak to me. And then woke up this morning and Satan says, or whisper in my mind, what are you doing that for? What have you got to say? So I said, liar, go away. So I hope you'll open up. I hope you will open up your heart and hear what God wants to say to us this morning. And today, I want to unpack with you a critical choice you and I have to make, and we have to make probably quite regularly. Every day we are faced with sort of choices, haven't we? Some of us who are more privileged than others, we might have multiple choices we can make, like, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to wear? Am I going to the gym, or am I going to be a TV couch potato today? Am I going to come to church, or am I going to stay at home and enjoy another cup of coffee? This weekend, am I going to support Liverpool, Man City, Man United, or Arsenal? Who's that? Some choices we make are neutral, like whether I shop at Pick and Pay or Checkers, or whether I'm going to say cook, I don't often cook, let me say it, whether I cook fish or chicken for supper. But some choices have a massive impact on us, on our spiritual journey, on people around us, and on kingdom advance. And the Bible has got examples of people who had to make big choices. And if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find, well, maybe you can give me some examples you can think of, people or situations in the Old Testament where people had to make a choice. Have you got any ideas? Get you a bit of audience participation? Can you think of anybody in the Old Testament? Abraham, yeah, he had what was his choice? Who said Abraham? Here we are. Here we go. Sweet for you. Good choice. Wow. That would change it. Now I get some question. What are the choices? Daniel, yeah. To pray or not to pray? That was the question. Yeah, I see, he did.
She needs three then. She needs three sweets. Oh.
I've got a few left, but who else have I got down here? Anybody else? There's a guy who had to, am I going to listen to God or am I going to go the other direction? Jonah, thank you. Over here first. There we are. So those are choices. I did hear a Jonah up here as well, somewhere. Those are choices that we see. God gave us examples of people making big choices that impacted things. Today, I'm going to present to you what is a fundamental choice Jesus gave his followers. I believe today some of us here will have a godly heart response that you will be changed forever. The bad news for some is before today, you might not have considered this important as an important choice you're going to be faced with, that I'm going to present to you. You might not have considered it. I might rattle your cage a bit this morning. By the time I've finished, maybe I might not be flavor of the month. But don't panic, because all I'm doing is bringing what God says in his word. I'm not some weirdo with freaky theology. I believe it's straight from God. Every one of us will make a choice in our hearts today. And when you walk out today, you'll be in one of two camps, in my belief. Can I carry on? Or should I sit down now? Because you're going to be challenged. Carry on. Let's go to the word first. And we're just going to read if I can get this one working. Let's see what happens. Yep, there we go. We're going to read from Luke 19, verses 9 to 13. I'm going to have it on the board, so don't get your cell phone out and look at it, because you'll be tempted to look at other things rather than listen to me. So here it goes. Oh, maybe you can't see it. That'll do. And I say to you, this is in, what I'm reading, this section I'm reading is in King James Version, which I don't normally go to. I normally have NIV, but I believe this version gives more correctness to the words and what was intended to say. So that's why I'm using a King James Version, a New King James Version even. So verse 9 says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail or die, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Now, I think what here we're talking about, unrighteous mammon, is, I'll be explaining a bit more later on, but it's basically what we're saying here is, we are given, using mammon, which I'll explain what that is as well, mammon, and we'll be using that for kingdom purposes, using it for good purposes. And that's the way of storing up treasure in heaven. Let me go on to the next one. I'll read this through and we can explain things as we go along. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And what I believe is the interpretation of what is true riches, I think it's investing in kingdom, investing in people, using your unrighteous mammon, your money, possessions, all that God gives you for the purposes of his kingdom. And then going back to that top one of when you die, receive it into everlasting home. It's when you get to heaven, you will be greeted and see people who you've impacted in their lives. That's your reward, your crown. And there'll be people still on earth who you've, as you die, you will have blessed and encouraged. "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So no servant can serve two masters. So who does that apply to? All of us. Yeah. No one can serve two masters. Say to your person beside you, you can't serve two masters. Yeah, got it. So let's go unpack this a bit and find out what is mammon. And some interpretations talk about money. I'm going to leave the verses up there because we'll refer back to it just now. Some of them talk about money. But it does really, from what I understand, it does include possessions, riches, a bigger thing than just money, all your possessions, all that God gives you. According to biblical scholars, mammon originally referred to a pagan god worshipped by Aramaic people, particularly in Syria. This god was associated with wealth, power, and fertility. Mammon, yes, it was an Aramaic word for riches. Assyrians got it from the Babylonians. Babylon was founded on a culture of pride and arrogance. It is in the heart attitude that says, man doesn't need God. We're self-sufficient. You don't need God. Trust your riches. What do you remember about the Babylonians? Can you remember anything about the Babylonians? Well done. Who said that? Well done. Good one. She's a star. You have two for that.
Oh, thank you.
No more left. Sorry, guys. Yeah, it was like this. There we are. That's in case you didn't think about it. I was a little prompt you, but I didn't need to. So they built a tower called Babel. Let's have another look at it again. I don't know if it is the real, but it's something like that. And they were trying to reach God. Basically, they were saying, actually, we don't need God. There's a pride, there's an arrogance, a self-sufficient attitude. And God stepped in and created confusion. And then we see this, I'm going to go back to the scripture. We see this showing up again in the form of worship of Baal, or Baal, depends how you pronounce it. That Israel embraced in the desert when they were wandering around. That's where we first see it. Remember the time when Moses was up on the mountain for a long time, and then they got fed up waiting for him to come down. And they, with Aaron's help, they built an image of a calf out of gold. And they started to worship it. And when Moses came down from the mountain with Joshua, he dealt very severely with this sin that had crept into people. Now, if you fast forward a bit further, when the children are over into Canaan, Promised Land, now you remember the time when the children of Israel, they came mixed up with the Canaanites' false god called Baal, and Baal is designated the god, here, listen to this again, the god of fertility. And in that capacity, its title was Prince, Lord of the Earth. It was also called the Lord of Rain and Dew, the two forms of moisture that the ground was dependent on. And you can remember that then there was that encounter between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, and how Elijah then showed the power and the truth and the reality of God. And the prophets of Baal were then destroyed. In the New, you go and flip into the New Testament, and then the mammon is personified as a spirit or a demon that deceives people into their trust and faith in riches instead of God. The spirit of mammon is looking for servants. See this? No servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, and Mammon. Mammon wants to rule in our lives. It wants you to look to it rather than looking to God. It offers identity, security in your money, your possessions. It suggests it can give you happiness. It says you'll get joy and peace and love, but it can't deliver. You'll always be looking for more. It promises, Mammon promises, and the spirit of Mammon promises to you what only God can give you. And we've all been, I have been influenced by the spirit of Mammon in my life. Have you ever said this? This is a spiritual trap. I either need God to come through, or I need somebody to give me more money. You've been there. I could do so much if I won the lottery. I could give so much to the poor and have impact in the kingdom. Spirit of Mammon. Do you remember in the Acts, Ananias and Sapphira? I believe they had a spirit of Mammon in their hearts over them. They were saying things probably like, if I only keep a little bit back, I'll be sorted, but I'm going to give a lot to God. But they said, we're going to give everything. They said that this is their proceeds from the land, but they kept some back. They lied to the leaders, they lied to God, and there was an end to their life because of that. If somehow I could get more money, then I'm okay, God. I don't need you anymore. I don't need to trust you. I don't need to believe in you. Does that sound a bit familiar sometimes? So the spirit of Mammon says, you don't need God. I'm going to trust in my riches and my resources. And this morning, this is going to speak to you, whether you've got a little or got a lot. It's the same thing, message that you need to hear, and we need to hear this morning, whether we've got small amounts or large amounts. Greed, covetousness, selfishness are manifestations of the spirit of Mammon. Sounds bleak. Let me go to the next. I'm going to answer another question. So I've talked to you. I've just outlined to you what I believe is Mammon, money, possessions, and the spirit and hold it can have on our lives, and where we are then compromises our trust and belief in God. Because it's important. Jesus is saying, no servant can serve two masters. The choice you've got to make this morning, facing you in a fresh way, I believe, is, am I going to follow God, or am I going to serve Mammon? Am I going to rely on my own ability, or am I going to really look to God? God gives us gifts. God gives us provision. God gives us resources. But where is our heart? Where are we trusting this morning? So, is all money and possessions evil? I think right now, this might seem a bit of a crazy thing to say, right now, all your possessions have either the Spirit of God on them or the Spirit of Mammon on them. Money and possessions are neutral. They aren't either or not. They are neutral. But it's what you and I do with them in our hearts that makes the big difference. When I was in Zim for 2 years, I've got it here. I was in Zim when there were dollarization. So there's American dollars everywhere. And I don't know, were you there, Caleb, in 20, what, when you leave them? Were you then with dollarization? There was. Well, what happens? All the old notes that America don't want anymore, they give to end up in Zim. Look, this is a dollar note. Can you believe that's still circulating? Feel that, look at that one. There's some cleaner ones. These are ones we picked up. But what is interesting is when you look at it, well, there's a one in the dust. In the middle of the dollar note, it says, "In God we trust." That is a brilliant reminder that this money is not where my security, true security is. My true security is in God. In reality, for the vast majority of people who handle these dollars, that probably is not true, because they are trusting in having those dollars. Money that has been submitted to God has the Spirit of God on it. Money that has not been submitted to God has the spirit of mammon on it, by default. It's used, and it's used to manipulate and control. You've got control. Mammon is the spirit of the world and is a liar. It promises you everything, but it delivers nothing, because it can't. It promises you, I'm going to repeat, it promises you those things that only God can give: security, significance, identity, independence, power and freedom. Mammon says money will solve all our problems. They won't. It's only God who can deliver on the promises Mammon is presenting to you and saying to you. The love of money, we were quoted last week, and my love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. Money can be and should and must be used for righteous purposes. Invest in those things that have eternal value. Treasures in heaven, kingdom, people. God can take money and turn it into eternal souls, eternal people, eternal treasure. So that was my first point, was I was talking to you about what is mammon. I'm then saying, is money and possessions evil? And I hope you realize that isn't the case. So then, what should I do with my money and my possessions? I'm going to help you with a few things that you should do with your money and your possessions. Be a good steward. Here we read, if you're faithful in the little, much be given to you. Don't then lose the plot in your abundance. In your place of abundance, don't lose the plot and forget that came from God, and continue to be faithful with all that God gives you. So as I want to underline, I believe true riches, which is talking about here, are people, individuals. You can influence, you can encourage, you can build up, you can disciple. That's what I believe true riches are. And that's what our treasure in heaven is. It's not money or possessions, because we know we can't take them with us. Our testimony, Joe and I, in 96, I was in the corporate world, quite a senior finance position, in a corporate in London. But we really heard the call of God in our lives. With four children, we gave up all of that to serve in a kingdom project in KwaZulu-Natal. And I look back now and I think probably many people didn't tell us this. Joe's mother-in-law did. My mother-in-law, Joe's mum. But many people didn't tell us, but it was crazy. I felt like, but I tell you what, at that point, our hearts were for God, fully. So it wasn't it wasn't a hard thing. It didn't feel like a hard thing. It didn't feel like, God, what are we doing? Do you really want us to do this? It wasn't, because our hearts were right. We were set on following us. We were following God. We were serving Him and His purposes. We then did other crazy things. A couple of years in Zim, 4.5 years in Mozambique. And if I go back to, I'm in the corporate world, significant salary, probably by now, if I stayed in that, big fat pension and possessions. But what would I have done? What would I have said to God when I stood before Him, when He called me to a particular purpose for our lives? And that's what I want us to be in a place of this morning. Now, I'm not setting myself up as a hero. I'm just saying it was a natural thing for us, because we were in that right place of saying, God, it's for You. We're following You. We're not serving all these possessions. And we've given what God's given us to bless others. And I can say that I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face, to receive my reward for how I've served Him. I can say that, honestly. We're not perfect. We mess up. And sometimes I get stressed if I haven't got money. I confess that. But really, as a basic testimony, is the life that we've lived of following God, because that is what I just want you to be encouraged in this morning. So, the big question you're going to ask me now, maybe, is, Ray, how do I know if what sign have I got, if I've got a spirit of mammon on me? What is it? How do I know? Well, let me help you. I've given you some clues here. How am I doing for time? Clues here. Come on. Has it gone off? What's working? There we are. There we go. So I'm going to give you 10 things that you can look at and say, well, actually, maybe I have, and maybe I need to confess to God. Oops, don't go too fast. Firstly, you're always thinking about money. Your focus is on either what you don't have or what you want. You're seldom in a place of contentment. If that's you, you've probably got a spirit of mammon that we want to pray for against this morning. You find yourself comparing your financial situation to others, maybe siblings or friends or age groups. You look at your lack and you grow envious and jealous of others' plenty. You look at what others have and then try to outdo them. Your success or identity as a person is dependent on how much money you make. Next one. You want your riches to make a statement to others. Look at me. Look at my possessions. Look at my job. Look at my house. It's difficult for you to give joyfully and completely. You think your finances are yours to give rather than God's provision in your life. When giving, you focus on what you're losing rather than what you're gaining. Does that feel like you? You only know in your heart. I just put internal chatter here, which means at this point in time now, as I'm talking, you're getting a bit restless. Maybe you're getting a bit angry because we're hitting some nerves, or frustrated or fearful, or trying to ignore what I'm saying. If you're under conviction, you're wanting to give but uncertain how, that's different. So yeah, so it's stuff that's going on within you now. Here we go, next one. You find your security and identity in what you have rather than in God. You know you're under the spirit of mammon. If you have to move to a smaller place or less than desirable neighborhood or get an older vehicle or buy clothes from a secondhand shop, that gives you a problem. That's... You're fearful, stingy, greedy, selfish with your money. Maybe you're never satisfied. There's always something else, or a little bit more. Solomon writes, regarding the futility of chasing after mammon, he says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with the income. Final one, living beyond your means, overextending yourself financially and being unwilling to cut back. So these are things you need to think about. I just want to do these things. I put these up just to help you. You might be thinking, that's not me, that's not my problem. And I want you to be in this position this morning where you can honestly say, actually, as for me, I follow God. I serve him. I'm not going to serve mammon. It's a choice we have to make. So how do I break these things? How can I break these things? I've got three things that I think will help us to understand how we can break this spirit over our lives. The first one is give generously. The generous, in Proverbs it says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Giving is a God-given strategy to eliminate greed from your life. A spirit of mammon wants to hoard resources and maintain control. When you give, you directly counteract that spirit. Giving is an action that builds trust between you and God. Through giving, we confirm that our money belongs to God. It's a declaration that we will use our resources to partner with his work in the earth. If you're not giving tithes and offerings already, start. Do it. Then ask God how you can give above and beyond with your time, money and skills. Joe is brilliant at this, and I'm, as an accountant, want to keep things all nice and tidy, but then I find Joe's given away this, given away that. No, she's added another 5 or 6 for supper tonight. When we're in Mozambique, every Thursday night, because we were on a farm with about 15 expat families on the farm working, and every Thursday night, our house was an open house. So all these people would come for supper. And Joe's, that's her heart, is to give and to include as many as she could and beyond our resources sometimes. But it's the heart and the attitude that then I got swept in with up with as well, because I had no choice. But it helped me understand actually where my priorities are, and I want to follow God. I want to serve him. So the first one is to give generously, and that will break the spirit, help to break that spirit of mammon over your life. Another one, pray fervently. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecy, but test everything that he's said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. That's from 1 Thessalonians. Ultimately, God has made a perfect, customized custom made strategy for how to break a spirit of mammon in your life. And Paul in Thessalonians says, don't stop praying. Bring your financial situation to God before you make decisions. Dream with God. Talk to him about why you want to build wealth. Read the Bible and listen carefully for how God may want to infuse more kingdom purposes into your plans. Then ask God to change your desires if needed, to build kingdom purposes, to reach out and to bless others, and to be an encouragement to people around you. Number one, give generously. Number two, pray fervently. And number three, surrender completely. I can remember, I think it was in my early 20s, I was just embark on a counting career and set for great heights. I can remember going through a time when I was really wanting to get more of God and reach for the baptism of the Spirit. And the one thing, as God filled me with the Spirit, part of that process was that surrender to Him and giving my life to Him in a complete and 100% way. And I think this is so important. Surrender completely. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up, give up your life for me, you will find it. That's what Jesus was saying, calling out to people. As Christians, surrender is a continual process. We must choose to follow God's plan and purposes every single day. You can tell it's time to surrender when you're holding your plans and timelines too tightly. When the house you want to buy, the investment you want to make, and the business you want to create begin to take place of God's authority and rule in your life. Surrender is necessary. We must learn how to steward with one hand what God has given us and surrender over to Him on the other hand. God's calling us this morning, and I'm going to go back to the verses. God's calling us and challenging us on this last verse. Are you going to serve God? That's the choice. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve mammon? We've been through things, and as I've spoken, there'll be things that have come into your own heart and life, and you're thinking, yeah, that's for me. I need to respond to this. Remember, one of the primary things that the spirit of man wants to do is to control. We can't have that spirit of control and follow the Spirit of God at the same time. So daily surrender to God and His plans to keep greed away and the spirit of mammon away from you. Should we stand? I'm going to pray over you, over us. Oh, I got my dollar back. Dirty dollar. I believe God does want to do something in our hearts this morning, and maybe many of us. I presented that actually you've got a choice to make this morning. And I believe that choice is, I'm going to choose. Am I going to follow and trust God? Or am I going to have that spirit of mammon over parts of my life? God is calling you now to give to Him. You've seen some of those things that might be indications of, actually, this is becoming too much to me, the money, the possessions. Nothing wrong with it in itself, but it's become too much. God wants to speak to us this morning. And God wants to put us on a different journey. God wants to take us to a different place. God wants to change things in our lives so we can have a different perspective of what he wants for us. God is calling us to say, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to follow God. It's a choice he made for him and his house. And that's a call God wants to put on each one of us this morning. For you and your house. You and your lives. You're going to follow God, or you're going to still hold on to the spirit of mammon in our lives. So Father, right now, Father, I just pray, Father, in the authority you've given me, in the blood of Jesus, we speak against the spirit of mammon that is floating around here, Father. We speak against it. We say, in Jesus' name, you have got no place in the lives of these dear, beautiful people. We say, spirit of mammon, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Because these, because we belong to you, Jesus. We want to you, Father. And Father, in our hearts, we give ourselves to you afresh, totally. We want to surrender to you, Father. We want to make that choice. As for me, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be obedient to him in all that you've given me. Thank you for your blessings. And as you entrust us, Father, as you've entrusted with things, we want to lay them at your feet. We want to make them under the control of the Spirit of God, not under the spirit of mammon. We want to take that choice this morning, Father, and give ourselves to you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you're with us. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Place of prayer, because I feel we can tell the spirit of mammon to go, but you actually have to repent for bowing to it. Okay, if you can just put those 10, never mind, we're going to send you these notes, okay, these 10 points. Let's just be prayerful again. I just want to hold this moment here. Let's just be before God. And those 10 points, just look at them. Because this is the hardest thing when it comes to your pride rears its head and says, no, that's not me. No, no, oh, please. Just read through those 10. If you feel the Spirit just edging you on that. Let's all just close our eyes. And in your own hearts now, you need to repent before him, saying, in asking repentance that you have believed in mammon and believed in the riches of this world to try and help you, but you've not trusted God. Every one of us has been affected by this, by the way. Every single one of us. The spirit of the age is a pull for you to be sucked into this way of thinking and believing. So, Almighty God, as your people, we repent where we haven't trusted you. We repent where we've placed our faith in the riches of this world. We repent when we've cried out saying, God, can you see my situation? And then we try and make a plan. And we humble ourselves before you, the great provider of everything. And I just dispel and I break lies over your hearts that have forced you to believe these things, that have forced you to go this route. We break those off of your spirit now in the name of Jesus. We break them off. We break them off of you, and let faith stir in your hearts that you truly trust the Almighty to provide. So, Father, we as a people affirm afresh again, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider in every way. We know the systems and the kingdoms of this world are what you were lured into to try and bow to. Jesus, we thank you that you overcame. Thank you, Jesus. So set us free from the spirit of mammon, Lord. Set us free from it so that we can truly walk in faith and love and trust in you, Almighty God, who holds everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What do we want to do every week is we want to finish with a declaration. Okay? And it's not to stir hype here. It's to declare these truths. We are going to say these things in faith. And we declare them out together. Let's go together. I declare Yahweh's breath of life over my finances today. I repent of partnering with the spirit of poverty and lack. I break that agreement in Jesus' name. I declare that God has given me the power to create wealth. I decree new employment opportunities, promotions, raises, and new streams of income to be created today. I declare Malachi 3:10, as we bring our tithes to the storehouse, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there will be not enough room to store it. I declare that there will be supernatural debt cancellation and supernatural strategies downloaded from heaven to cancel debt. I shall lend to many nations and borrow from none. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You see, the remedy to break the spirit of mammon is Ray touched on it. It requires the opposite spirit. So when you think, but this is all I've got, in faith you say, well, Jesus, I'm going to give this in faith. Not with this attitude, oh, well, okay, he said it. With the right heart, and we'll never subat you here to give more, more, more. You give out of the own place of your heart. To turn this thing around, you need to do the opposite thing. Okay, and that is the test of faith, that you step out and say, God, I'm giving this in faith. We gave somebody some money this week who desperately needed it. We don't have it to give, but we gave it in faith, saying, God, we don't have this, but we give this in faith. Now you provide for us as you provide for them. Okay, this is the exercise that we will walk into and continue to do. Amen.